Wow, the Lord has been so faithful to us, man. Taking a walk down memory lane with some of those songs that take us back. I can tell you, I don't have the rhythm and I can't move like I used to. I about threw my back out on "The Lord is Good" all the time. But man, some great, great songs. You know, in any generation, the message is still the same. Man, the Lord is worthy of our praise and He is so good to us. He surely is. We praise Him for that. Indeed. 50 years, wow, Pine Lake, since 1971, God has been moving among us. Many of you weren't even born in 1971. Those of you who were can't remember 1971. So let me take you back to what it was like living in 1971 back in the day. There were 207 million people living in the U.S. at that time. Richard Nixon was our president. John Bell Williams was the governor of our state. The 26th Amendment was added, giving 18-year-olds the right to vote. In 1971, Apollo 14 landed on the moon. A guy named Ray Tomlinson invented internet-based email. On March the 31st, the first Starbucks, most importantly, was founded in Seattle, Washington. And on October the 1st, Walt Disney opened up Disney World down in Florida. The economy was a little different back then, too. Minimum wage was $1.60 an hour. That's pretty cheap, right? $1.60 an hour. Average income for an American household was $9,000 a year. A gallon of gas was 36 cents. A dozen eggs, 53 cents. A new car, $3,700. Price of a Coke was between 10 and 15 cents. Price of a Big Mac was 65 cents. The price of a Ford truck was $2,963. The price of a new home was somewhere between $25,000 and $28,000. The cost of a Super Bowl ad was $72,000. And the cost to get into Disney World was still $400 a kid. I don't know what that's about. I mean, they've been killing it forever, right? There were some famous people born in 1971. Elon Musk, who's going to probably have us on Mars before we turn around, right? Snoop Dogg, Mississippi guy, shout out. Mark Wahlberg, Winona Ryder, Jada Pinkett Smith, Ricky Martin, Jeremy Renner, Ewan McGregor, Mary J. Blige, Kid Rock, Amy Poehler, all born in 1971. Number one song in the nation that year was a song called "Joy to the World." No, not the one you sing at Christmas. This was a song by Three Dog Night. It started off, said, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog." Come on, now y'all know the song I'm talking about. "Jeremiah was a bullfrog," or "was a good friend of mine." I won't sing the rest of that verse right there. But that song said, "Joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea, and joy to who? Joy to you and me." Come on, y'all know we need some joy in the world right now. Top movies were Billy Jack, Fiddler on the Roof, Dirty Harry. Top TV shows were All in the Family, The Flip Wilson Show, Marcus Welby, M.D., Gunsmoke, Sanford and Son, Mary Tyler Moore Show, and Bonanza. Come on, Hollis, where you at, right? In the NFL, the Colts were still in Baltimore, the Cardinals were still in St. Louis, and the Raiders were still in Oakland at the time. The most popular toys and gifts were Weebles that wobble but they don't fall down, Clackers, and a thing called the Etch-a-Sketch. There were some quotes from 1971. See if you remember these. Is it live or is it Memorex, right? That was for a tape that was supposed to be so clear, you couldn't tell if it was live or if it was Memorex. McDonald's came out with "You Deserve a Break Today." Oscar Mayer came out with an advertising slogan that says, little kid, he was singing, he said, "My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-E-Y-E-R. I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A." Right? That was the commercial. It was amazing. And we all used to eat bologna until we read the package and saw what was in bologna. We're like, I ain't eating that no more. But I was raised eating bologna sandwiches, right, as a kid. In 1971, Pine Lake Church was born. The first meeting in the home of Bill and Peggy Young in February of 1971. The first worship service a month later, March 21st, 1971. In church that day were 32 people. 32 people started what we call today our Pine Lake Faith family. 32 folks were in attendance. 9 of them joined the church, right? Became members, and the offering that day was $170. Right? Now, we can look back over 50 years and say, man, through 5 different pastors, 1 an interim, a guy named Mr. J.C. Renfro, and 4 senior pastors, Gary Watkins, Lanny Wilburn, Tommy Politz, and now me, things have changed slightly. And those 32 people in one living room are now spread out across the state of Mississippi at 5 campuses, plus some of you who are watching right now online. In the past 50 years, by my best guess, and I'm trying to be conservative in the early years about how many people may have been baptized in a year, but being realistic, for the last 22 years, I know how many people have been baptized. Somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people have accepted Jesus and been baptized as a part of a faith family called Pine Lake over the last 50 years. That's a lot of life change. One other quote from 1971 actually started in 1968, but they were saying it in 1971. "You've come a long way, baby." That was the quote. And we're not smoking Virginia Slim cigarettes, which is where that came from, but you've come a long way, baby, and we have. And so today at church, it's going to be a little less preachy, okay? It's going to be a little bit less preachy. Hey, open your Bible, and we're going to unpack a text. It's going to be a little bit more walk down memory lane to remember. And you know what I think? I think I'm not very good at that, remembering things. I tend to press forward, not reflect back. But I'm also convinced that the Bible tells us that it's good to stop and remember. You know, the Bible tells you to remember over 170 times. Nearly 200 times the Bible says remember. God's remembering us. We should remember the Lord and think about how He saved me and raised me and filled me with the Holy Ghost and healed me to the uttermost. We need to think back about where we have come from. Listen, I don't want us to live in the past. That's not what this is about. You don't need to live in the past. You need to come on, right? But we need to learn from the past, don't we? We need to celebrate God's goodness from the past and move forward. Psalm 77, verse 11 says, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old." The Bible repeatedly recounts our history and our forefathers and from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the Exodus. Those stories are told and retold and retold and retold. It was an oral culture back then where they needed to hear the story again and again and again so that it became part of their life. So that as they lived forward, that past anchored them. Didn't bind them, it anchored them to God who was not moving. That word recall means to remember, means to recall, call it to mind. It means, listen, the Hebrew phrase means that you remember something and it has an impact in the present on the way you think, the things that you feel, and then the choices that you make. And so I pray that's what's going to happen in the next few minutes, that what you're going to hear is going to impact you in the way you think and how you feel about your faith family and change the way you live from this day forward. In the New Testament, the idea of remembering carries the idea of, man, I'm going to speak it out. I'm just going to say what has happened to me, and that's what we've been doing in these Psalms. Deuteronomy, Moses writes a lot about remembering. He says in Deuteronomy 5, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, he says, listen, now on the Sabbath day, part of what I want you to do is I want you to remember that you used to be slaves in Egypt and how God has brought you out. Every week they would remember how far God had brought them. Part of their day, their weekly rhythm to remember the Lord. In Deuteronomy 7, he says, listen, whenever life is hard and you don't know what to do, you remember how big your God is. And that's a word for somebody right now, right here today. You're not studying the 50th anniversary or birthday of Pine Lake. That's really not on your radar. What you're thinking about is how overwhelming life is in this moment. And can I say to you, remember God. Focus on Him. Don't think about yourself and your limitations. Get your eyes on God. He can do anything. Remember the size of your God and the faithfulness of your God today. But in Deuteronomy 8, Moses writes a chapter about remembering. And so I'm going to do what they told us in seminary and public speaking school to never do. Don't read that much scripture. But let me tell you what I've learned in being a pastor for nearly 30 years now. What I say ain't going to help nobody. But what God says in His Word can change anybody. And so I'm going to read the whole chapter. And so I need you. I'm asking you to open your heart with me for a second, okay? I'm asking you to receive life implanted. This word has the power in the hand of the Spirit of God to change your life and your family tree forever. And so would you receive this word, Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. Moses says, "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, so that you can live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember," this is it, this is our word, "you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that He might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you were going to keep His commandments or not. He humbled you, He let you be hungry, and then He fed you with manna, which you didn't even know, nor did your forefathers know, that he might make you understand that man doesn't live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. You've got to learn, he says, not to trust your own self. Learn to trust God. He provided. Your clothing didn't wear out on you, did it? Nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God so that you could walk in his ways and fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you won't lack anything. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. In other words, he's saying, man, God is about to bless you in a crazy, crazy good way. Remember who's bringing you here. For he says, when you have eaten and you're satisfied, you're going to bless the Lord, your God, for this good land which he's given you. You better beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you've eaten and you're satisfied and you've built big houses, good houses, lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He's the one that led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna which your fathers didn't know, that he might humble you and might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, man, it's my power, my strength, my hand that made me this wealth. No, you remember the Lord your God. It is he who is giving you the power to make wealth so that he might confirm his covenant that he swore to your forefathers as it is this day. It shall come about if you ever forget me, forget the Lord your God, and you go after other gods and you serve them and worship them, then I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Now that's God saying to a generation thousands of years ago a word that is as applicable today. You've been blessed. You've been blessed. And God wants you to reflect on your blessings today that you might praise him and live a life that honors the one who blessed you. Y'all with me? Because here's what Moses is saying in this chapter. There's a danger that whenever you get blessed and satisfied and you're fat and happy, that you would forget God that gave it to you, that you'd become arrogant and prideful thinking it's all about you, you would disobey God and you would die. He's not talking about necessarily a physical death. He's talking about being cut off from the blesser and his blessings. Okay, you with me? And so what Moses is saying is whenever God's good to you, remember him so that you can praise him, so that then you are motivated to trust and obey him, that you might have life. And I want to declare over everybody here and everybody who's listening that that is God's desire for you, that you would learn to bless him and to praise him, to trust him and to walk with him and watch him do in your life what nobody else can do and nobody else can stop. Could we think about that today? Let's look back for a moment with gratitude. Let's think about God in our past, and let's just remember, God, you've been so good to us. God has been gracious to us. Has God not been gracious and merciful to us, a forgiving God to us, patient with us? He's forgiven us, according to that video, for a lot of bad hairdos and ugly ties. I will say that. Man, fashion back in the 70s was something, to behold, right? He's walked with us in our imperfections, in times of division within our church. Before my time, I heard that the personnel committee once gave the preacher a raise, and so he started getting his raise. But when the church found out about it a few weeks later or months later, they voted in a business meeting to make the preacher give the raise back. Okay? Can I just say, if that happens today, good luck with that. Right? That money would be gone, right, for most of us. But that was just our background. In 1998, my predecessor, Tommy Polis, wrote an article in calling the church family to a time of repentance and prayer for reconciliation because there was division in the body. And there needed to be healing and there needed to be wholeness within us. We're an imperfect people, and on a few occasions, our elders have exercised church discipline to protect the body and the family of faith from folks who were not in a good place in a season. I'm an imperfect leader. I got a text on Friday. One of our members sent me a picture of a cart in a hotel hallway, you know, where they have all the towels and the soaps and the shampoos, blah, 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 blah. And he said, every time I pass one of these, I think about you. Now, if you don't know, if you weren't here back in the day, I confess to the church that every time I walk by one of those things, I'm tempted to steal stuff off of the cart. I mean, put some shampoos in my pocket, you know, give me some extra coffees, walk out of there loaded, you know. And I think it's because I come from very poor background, and I've had a poverty mindset in my past, and I'm just telling you, it was a real temptation for me. So he says, man, every time I walk by one of these, I think about you. I can be a mess, y'all. God's graced me. Okay. And a lot of times out of my insecurity, I say or do things that have been hurtful. My family was at a car dealership one day. We went to see the Duck Dynasty guys, and we're standing there, and one of the things about pastoring a church like Pine Lake is I don't know everybody's name, and I hate it and I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm too prideful to admit it sometimes. And there was a guy who walked up to me, and I did not know his name. I did not recognize him, but it was clear that he knew me, and, you know, he was talking to me. And I should have just off the jump just said, hey, dude, tell me your name and who your family is, but I didn't. And now I'm in the conversation, and I'm in too deep. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going with it now. What's up, brother? Y'all know what I'm saying? Hey. And so he finally, after a minute or two, he says, well, do you miss Mama? And I was like, oh, man, I do. I hadn't seen her in a while. And he said, well, you know, she died 5 years ago. You did her funeral. That's probably why I hadn't seen her, come to think of it. Dang, I've been meaning to get by the, you know, graveyard and check on her, you know, make sure she's all good. Can I just say, I say and do some of the stupid stuff that I know. I've been an imperfect leader, and listen, I have wounded you. My neglect has harmed you at times, and I just got to say, I'm sorry, and God, I've needed God's grace for that. Y'all with me? I've needed God's grace for that, and I'm thankful for it. But can I just say, I'm not the only one who's jacked up. We had a staff member one time erased our entire database from all of our computers. We had no records of anything ever. That's a problem. Right? That's a problem. We had a guy who was preaching one day, and he was trying to teach about, you know, how sin just takes over your life. And he was trying to say that sin is like an octopus that gets its tentacles around you. And y'all know what he said. And I'm not sure anybody recovered after he said it either. Jeff Redding was preaching one time in Madison. The video didn't work. Jeff had to stand up and preach, and he couldn't decide if we should stand or we should sit, but he couldn't get sit out, and he sure said that word too. He did in church, and I know they never recovered there. One Wednesday night, the church must have been feeling the Spirit of God in there. On a Wednesday night prayer service, man, something broke out. They did a conga line around the church on a Wednesday night. I'm like, what in the world is going on? I mean, hey, in Jesus' name, right? Hallelujah. We had one of our staff members in Clinton one time. He turned in a receipt from the liquor store to the church. Went and bought liquor on the church credit card. I'm like, dude, what is this? He said, well, we had communion last Wednesday night, and I just went and got the communion supplies at the liquor store. He didn't know we were of the grape juice variety. He went on and got the real stuff, right? Bought the good stuff. Now, here's the curious thing. Nobody in Clinton ever complained about that. All I heard was, whoo, it was lit on Wednesday, man. We had a good time, right? So can we just look back for a second? Can we look back for a second? Has God been gracious to you in your stupidness, foolishness, sinfulness? Can you just think with me for a second. God, have you been good to me? I pray that you could think about that right now with me and just say, God, I thank you for your grace. Ephesians 2:12 says, remember that there was a time when you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You were a stranger to the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You were without God in this world. Oh, man, but now in Jesus Christ, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Can we just say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. And we've seen a lot of life change. I can remember when Jody sent me a text one Sunday after Laquan Treadwell, who was in church, felt the Spirit of the Lord move him, and he said, Jody, I need to be baptized. In the next service, they baptized Laquan, and it was a great celebration that day. I think about some folks who've been at different campuses who, man, God has met them, turned them around dramatically. And a lot of those, that fruit has lasted. Some, maybe not so much. I remember this one guy who joined, he accepted Christ. He was baptized, joined the choir. And man, whenever he would sing in the choir, he would just, his Saturday night would come out. Y'all know what I'm saying? Dude, he would get to shaking. And before it was all said, we were like, oh my goodness. But how can you tell a guy, don't be excited for what Jesus has done in your life? Right? Just so, so good to us. Thank you, God, for your grace. And can we remember God's faithfulness to us? I've heard that God looks after babies, drunks, and fools, and some of y'all are in that list twice. So I don't know if that's true or not, though. But let me tell you what I do know. God looks after people who trust him. God looks after people who say, God, I may not be perfect, but I'm going to trust you that you are. And here's what you find out is whenever you trust God, God always shows up. He's faithful. He won't forsake you. Won't leave you. Doesn't mean life's always perfect like you thought it was going to be, but I'm saying God shows up and does God's things. I can think about Shelby News, who's a part of our church staff for a long, long time. He was our worship and missions pastor. And Shelby would go to the uttermost parts of the earth with a little bit more than a wing and a prayer. And he would show up and take a team with him, and they would be in the middle of Lord only knows where, needing the weirdest thing, and they would pray, go into some hut on the side of the road, and they'd have four of them. And Shelby would take them, and man, they could do the Lord's work. People were being saved. It's crazy. Shelby landed in Adana, Turkey, middle of one night. We had five of our church members who were there serving in Adana as missionaries, and Shelby wanted to go see them, but didn't know exactly where they were living, so he just decided to go to Adana, Turkey. Now, Adana's 1.8 million people live in Adana. It's like flying to Phoenix and saying, hey, I think I'll just go find y'all's house. Okay, without any way of knowing exactly how to do that. So Shelby's in a taxi riding around Adana, Turkey, sees this person on the side of the road. He tells the cab driver, stop, I need to ask them something. Rolls the window down and says, hey, listen, I'm looking for five Americans. Do you happen to know where they might be? And the person says, yes, I do. And so Shelby gets the person in the car. They start to talk. Shelby starts talking about Jesus because that's what Shelby does. This person says, they were Muslim, I've been dreaming about Jesus. Can you tell me about him? And before they got out of that taxi, Shelby was with the five Americans and that lady accepted Jesus. Hey, God's faithful when we trust him. He just shows up. There are times whenever in the Bible you hear the stories over and over again. And I'm going to tell you one that a lot of you have heard before. God's been faithful to us. In 2000, the year 2000, our long-range planning team came back with a recommendation to our church family that we, at that time, one church, one location on Spillway Road in the Reservoir community, that we sell our church and that we go look for 50 acres of land somewhere along the Lakeland Drive corridor, hopefully for under $2.5 million. Now, we had land experts in our church who said, look, dude, that ain't happening. They're selling land on Lakeland Drive by the foot. That'll never happen. But our church, in faith, believed this is what God had told this team to tell us to do. So we voted 92% to, let's go for it. If God said go, let's go. The day after we voted, a man walked into my office named Timmy Welch and said, my mother-in-law died and left me 105 acres. And I'd love to sell you guys this land. I've already talked to the landowner in front of me about some other things. And I've asked him if I could sell the land, could I buy right away across his land, 65 acres on Lakeland? If you'd buy my land, I'd pay for y'all to have access out to Lakeland Drive. Thank you, Mr. Welch. I appreciate that. Later on that very same week, one of our elders was in the post office. A lady said, hey, I heard y'all's church voted to move. My daddy owns 65 acres on Lakeland Drive. You should ask him about it. That 65 and that 105 were right there together. We wound up buying both pieces of property, not for $2.5 million, but 170 acres for $2.2 million. Our church voted 93% to make that purchase. The next day, a man from Lakeside Presbyterian Church named Mr. Mort Bradley walks into my office and he says, hey, listen, I'm an elder at Lakeside Pres. When y'all move, would y'all consider selling us your current church? I said, I need to pray about that, Mr. Mort. Yes, actually, we would. I just prayed. God gave me a word. We would. And to cut to the chase, we sold our old building for $2.2 million to the Presbyterian Church. Okay? Now, There was still some problems because once you decide you're going to move, now you got to build something new. And so the building project was going to be about a $14, $15 million project. And that meant for us to be able to do it and then be able to swing the note, we would at least have to raise $6 million. And we hired a consulting firm to help us raise the money, and they told us you can't raise $6 million. Your church, average age of Pine Lake at that time was 18 years old. Come on, how many of y'all got 18-year-olds with $1 million running around in their pocket? They ain't got nothing but debt. Whatever you got's what they got, right? 18-year-olds ain't got any money. Man, you can't raise the kind of money you need. And we're paying this guy to try to help us. And so finally we paid him to leave because he didn't have no faith, right? He's trying to help us, but we're like, dude, you don't understand. He said to get to $4 million, you'd have to have somebody give $1 million, two people give $500,000 just to get to $4 million. You're telling me you got to get to six. But God had said go. We were trusting God. Man was saying this is impossible. This cannot happen. But our church pledged. Nobody gave $1 million. Nobody pledged $500,000. But 566 people believing in an equal sacrifice, not equal gifts, pledged over $6.5 million. And by the time the 3 years was up, we'd given $7 million toward that project. That's a miracle. I mean, it's God multiplying fishes and loaves. That's what's happening. Then it came time to actually get the loan, and Pine Lake had about $500,000 in debt that we couldn't get rid of. Truth be told, for a period of our church life, we had a grade school and a kindergarten, and it was paying the bills for the church. You know what I mean? So usually the church would pay there, but that was paying the church's way. And we couldn't get rid of our debt, so when it came time to bid on our project, only two banks, out of all that we asked to, hey, give us a, you know, prospectus on this, only two banks brought anything to the table. One of them was a bank, Bank Plus, in the community. Joel Ross was a part of our church family, and he somehow, I don't know how he convinced those in that organization to say, look, I know they are a train wreck and a mess, but God's moving in that place. And so they said, listen, we'll give you the loan, but you got to bring us all your banking, which was like, no problem. It's just more debt for you. Things are a little different today. I'm telling you that story so that you will know that your legacy as a part of this faith family is one of faith. And it doesn't matter what experts and men who are really smart or women who are really smart, I appreciate your opinion, but faith trusts God and God shows up. Y'all with me? That's it. God shows up. And God is faithful. And so when I say the church, I'm not talking about, you know, some entity. I'm talking about people just like you who say, God, I want to follow you. And that's scary and it's risky. Sometimes it's overwhelming. I'll show you a picture. You're not going to be able to read it. Don't worry about it. I'm not trying to get you to read it. I'm going to read it for you. I wrote this piece of paper sometime late 2004, early 2005. I don't remember exactly, but we were out of space. In a brand new church building, we were out of space, and I could not believe it. It was the worst thing I could possibly have heard. I was tired. I didn't know what I was already doing, and now you're going to ask, God, we got to do something else now. And so I just wrote down all these possibilities of things that we might could consider doing. I remember sitting in my office writing this, just feeling so overwhelmed. We could build a new building. We could do multiple services. We could do a video feed on campus at select hours. We could church plant. We could Pine Lake plant. We could do Pine Lake satellites, which you can't say satellite anymore, campuses. But Pine Lake satellites, right? Start on college campuses. That's what that says. Video plant, Pine Lake satellite with teaching pastors. We could do computers and video streaming, television, satellite Sunday school. I mean, I'm just writing all kind of crazy stuff. But then I wrote up here, God, what are we called to do? And I wrote, we're called to worship and win the lost and make disciples and be Jesus in our community and in our fellowship. And over there, I wrote Madison, Clinton, Florence, and Jackson. And then I wrote, God, how are you calling me in Pine Lake to do that? And God, I don't know why I wrote this, but I'm just telling y'all what was going on in my little head. God, if I were on TV, would I care about how this comes out? God, if you take me out, what's the best plan for the gospel and for Pine Lake? God, it ain't about me. God, what's best for the unbelieving people in Jackson? I'm just saying, God, because I don't know. And I just asked God, God, what if we do all of that? I'm trying to figure out one of those things. God, if we did, I just felt like, God, what if we did all of that? And God began to speak into my spirit, and he says, it's about the word and Bible teaching. Here's what God spoke into my spirit through my mentor, Bob Russell. Chip, you plant the grass, you teach the word, God will bring the sheep. You plant the grass, you teach the word, God will bring the sheep. I wrote Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It's on a plaque outside this building right now. That God can do immeasurably more than all we ask, think, or imagine. And then I just wrote myself a note, go for it. You only have one shot in life. Make it count. Do all you can. Be poured out. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that to say, I have not known what I was doing for a long, long time. But the legacy of our church leadership has been to say, God, what do you want to do? And if you'll tell us what it is, we'll go for it. I talked to a church member, part of our Clinton family, last night. And she said, you know what? I'm realizing the more and more, I've got to decrease more and more. I'm going to die one day. She's working with folks as a nurse who, you know, are in hospice care. It's what she wants to do. We're dying, but he's got to increase. Can I just say to you, that's the legacy of our church family, is that we should decrease more and more, and God will increase more and more, and he is absolutely faithful. God can do it. And it's not just that God is faithful. God has used faithful people. You've been blessed on this journey, this ministry called Pine Lake, by people you don't know. Y'all ever read the lists in the Bible and kind of have to speed read them because you don't really know all their funny names? Y'all ever do that? Anybody ever do that? Anybody's favorite chapters in the Bible, 1 Chronicles 1 through 9? Anybody? You'll be lying if you raise your hand because it's 900 straight names that you can't pronounce, people you don't even know, right? 900 names, 25 women, 25 different nations or people groups, name after name after name. What are they writing? Generation after generation, nameless, faceless, who carried the baton. You ever read the genealogy of Jesus? What's that about? I mean, I recognize three or four of them people, and most of them I don't even know. But you know what? For generation after generation, somebody was faithful. Read Romans 16, and Paul's listing all these people. You're like, Paul, I have no idea who this is. But Paul did. These are people who gave life to him. And so I want to say to you today, we sit here, but you've been blessed by people that you may never know, that carried the baton of leadership for us. People like, and I know I'm going to miss some, so please don't offend it if I don't call your name out. But I was just reflecting back over the last week or so of some people who've been a vibrant part of this church in season. Some of them have moved on. Some of them graduated to heaven. Think about Phil and Rita Harkins, Gerald and Beth Sarton, Rick and Claudia Pasonic, David and Linda Harden, Chester Reddit, Juanita Alexander, Lois Allen, Nolan Brister, Warren Fortson, Mike and Kathy Joyner, David and Barbara Searles, Yvonne Boykin, Alice Stokes, Earlene Edwards, Joe and Mary Lou Collum, Rod and Jane Moore, Billy and Barbara Sims, Aaron and Ann Cummins, Bayless and Pat Morton, the Weimers, the Meltons, the Sanderfords, the Walters, Stephen June Goff, Ken and Linda Robinson, the Scarboroughs, the Morgans, and the Caraways. For some of y'all, that was a list. For me, that was my people. I mean, that's people who laid it out on the field in a season so that you could be here today and have a walk with God. And man, there have been staff members who have blessed us, some of who are here today, the Herndons, the Nieces, the Buckners, the Askews, my assistant Kathy Sanford for 20 years, Robert Green, Kathy Jeffcoats, whose husband is here today, Mr. Pat. I'm just so thankful for these people. And what I'm saying to you is, man, we look back and we see that there have been faithful people who have blessed us. Now, here's what I need to say about those people. They're very imperfect. We've needed God's grace, but they've carried the baton in their generation. And the handoff at times may have been a little bit shaky and wobbly, but it's now in our hands. And God wants you to carry this message and this truth forward. And so I just want us to look back. I want us to look back just for a minute today. And so can I just, would you think, has God been gracious to you, been faithful to you? People been faithful in your life? Now remember what Moses said. I want you to look back so that you can bless God and so that you can live differently in the future. So that you think and you feel and you choose to act differently. And so can I just declare over us, man, if you can sit here and say today, God, you've been faithful to me, you've been gracious to me. Well, then let's let that begin to be a launching pad for you and for me to live differently. What are the next 50 years going to hold? What do you think? Think things are going to change? Oh, you can count on that. Things that used to take 50 years to change, they'll be changed in 5 years. space travel, all kind of junk. I don't even know. There's a lot that's going to change, but you can count on change is coming, right? But I also want to submit to you as a faith family that for us, there are some things that will never change. Okay, y'all with me? Come on, let's think forward now for a second. There are some things that are never going to change. I don't care what changes around us, what demands are made of us, how the culture and the world does. There are some things that will not change. The gospel, the truth of the good news of Jesus will never change. Men and women are saved and forgiven and made alive to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. His death, his burial, his resurrection, ascension, and now pouring forth his spirit into our hearts to empower us to live every day until he comes back. That ain't changing.
That's right.
And that's what we will teach and believe, and that's what we will stand on. This book has always been under attack, God's truth, and it's subtle, and it happens both outside and sometimes even inside the church. But I'm saying to you, this is our lamp to our feet and our light into our path. This is the plumb line by which we will be measured. We're not going to measure God's word by our lives and what we won't know. We're going to let God's word be the one that measures us. And we're going to conform our lives to this book. Not a word, not a stroke, not a letter will pass away from it, Jesus said, until it's all come to pass. And so I'm looking around this room right now and your room right now, and I'm seeing a lot of young people, boys and girls, elementary school, high school kids, college age students. Let me just tell you something. You're going to hear a lot of junk out there in the street, but what you come and experience in this place when we teach this word, you need to know this is what you need to build your life on forever and ever and ever. That's for real, that's straight facts. There's money in that. Right? You can count on that. God's word is what we build our lives on. Count on it. Our mission's not going to change. I've been reading about Jesus' life in the Gospel of Luke with my son and a couple of his friends, and in that repeated reading, just chewing on it, man, I've just been struck that Jesus came. He declared that he came to help the hurting, helpless, hopeless, hungry people who wanted a way out so bad and couldn't find a way out in religion. Jesus said, I came for them. I'm going to teach on it next week, part of it. You can come back if you want to. Luke 4, Jesus stood up in the synagogue one day where he would go regularly. That was his custom, it says. And he said this in Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy Spirit of God has anointed me, he says. He's anointed me to preach the gospel that ain't never going to change to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Then Jesus closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. Everybody in church is looking at him. And then he said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What is he saying? He's saying, this is what I came to do. I came to help the hurting and the broken, and those who are helpless and hopeless, who are captive and blind and have no hope. I came to help them. And his mission is now our mission. And I don't know all that's going to happen for the future, but I can tell you this. We're going to keep on trying to tell poor people who are spiritually dead in their own sinfulness that there is a way for Jesus, by the riches of his grace, to make you new, to forgive you. And so we're going to plant churches and send missionaries and have campuses and teach the word of God. We're going to keep doing that. We want to continue to bolster what started with prison ministry for people who are not bad. They made bad choices. But they're not done. And right now we're helping to start a church in one of our state prisons, and there's mentoring and there's counseling and other things that are going on. And listen, we need more people to come and be a part of giving hope to the oppressed and the broken. We've gotten away from doing recovery ministry for some years, but that's coming back. Because there are people who are suffering, oppressed, and held prisoner in addictive behavior, mental and emotional health. And we have the solution. We have the love, the grace, and some resources to help. And so in the future, we're going to be a part of that. Because that's what Jesus calls us to. It's what he did. It's what he calls us to do. And our purpose, not just our mission, but our purpose is not going to change. Can I just say this out loud? The purpose of this church is not to keep the machine going. It's not to keep having church. It's not it. Keep people coming. That ain't it. If COVID taught me anything, it taught me that we were off kilter. We were off track. So much of our time was about getting everybody to come here. Listen, We gotta reshape and refocus and realign what our purpose is. Our purpose is not to have church, tell people come to church. Our purpose is to be the church. That's it. The church is you and me, the earliest followers of Jesus. This is what the Bible says characterized their life, Acts 2:41. So then those who had received his word were baptized. That's Peter's preaching. They were baptized that day, and there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves, constantly devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together, had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions. They were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, they're continuing with one mind in the temple and then breaking bread from house to house. They're taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is what I think God is saying to you and to me, that the call is not to come to church, to be a member of the church. The call is for you to daily, day by day, devote yourself to a life that is centered and grounded in relationship with Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit for everything about your life to be changed. The way you live, the way you interact with your family, the way you interact with your friends at school or at work or in the community, that you would be something. Y'all with me? Church is not something I go to. It's a relationship with God that I am cultivating and that I am in that is changing me. I am the church. You are the church. Okay? And so this devotion looks like growing spiritually. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That we need to be in the Word, that you need to learn from the Word of God, that you need to live out the life of Christ and then lead other people in what you're learning and living. That's what it means. And so I'm inviting you. God's inviting you. I don't know if you've been, you know, I used to do that, Chip. I kind of got away from it. Well, today we're going to start again. I'm no good at it, man. Today we get to start again. This is what Jesus is calling us to as we think about the Lord and we praise him and we begin to trust and obey him lest we die. Spiritually grow. You pray constantly. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. Pine Lake has been a place of prayer sometimes in some seasons more than others. But I'm saying to you, as we move into the future, you and I are called to be men and women who fight the spiritual battle on our knees. And I'm convinced that there are some battles that will only be won when you pray. And so you need to start fighting on your knees. That's what they did. That's the way Jesus lived. It's what they call us to do. I'll talk about that in a couple of weeks as well, but I want us to be a people of prayer. I want you to love people. Connect. You love people. They were with each other constantly. They were fellowshipping. They were devoting themselves to one another. There's a connection there. And so listen, whenever you isolate, you suffocate your spiritual life. Fact, when you isolate, the enemy devours you. And so I want you to be connected to our faith family. And if you have not been a part of our faith family and you'd love to be a partner with us and an active co-laborer with us, we would love to welcome you in. We've got an open house August the 15th. Love for you to come. Check us out and say, man, you know what? I think this may be a people for me. And you begin to love and connect with your family and your friends and love people who are different from you. Jesus told us that the world would know we're his disciples by the way we love each other. So I don't know what the world's going to, I don't know what's going to go on in the world, but we're going to learn to love each other. And then the last thing is we're going to share. We want to give generously. These people were selling their possessions and they were helping each other out. And there was a generosity. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he's calling us to do that exact same thing. That you would be generous with your goods. That you would be generous with your gifts, your ability to serve, be a part of this family and serve other people, that you would be generous that way, that you would be generous with the gospel, that you would be ready to give an account for the hope that was in you. You don't have to be able to quote the whole Bible. All you got to be able to say is, man, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how he changed me to the uttermost, man, that's all you got to be able to say, but you be ready to share this good news. And the scripture says whenever they were the church, all filled the body, then we experienced God together, and those outside the church were drawn. What are the next 50 years going to be like? Y'all, I ain't got a clue. But I think it was Corrie Ten Boom who said, don't ever be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God who is good and faithful and gracious to us. So come on, can we pray to that end right now just across our room? Could I lead you to pray this way? Would you think back with me, God been gracious to you? He's been gracious to you in your weak moments, your foolish moments, those times whenever you were just doing your own thing, running from God, believing lies. Would you just say, God, thank you for grace. Thank you for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. If you've never experienced the forgiveness of Jesus, what he did for you on the cross and life in his name, but you want it, you sense there's something in you right now that needs the Lord to change you, would you just say, Jesus, come into my life and change me? I just give my life to you right now. And in a minute, when we stand up and sing, you can walk to the front and there'll be somebody at the front who would love to help you take your next step in that journey and to know what that really fully looks like. But you can walk to the front or you can just text the word Jesus to our number, 57555. We'll help you. Has God been faithful? Been faithful to you? Would you give him thanks? Just give him thanks. God, thank you. You've been faithful to me. I don't deserve it. Couldn't earn it. But God, you've been faithful. Praise you, Lord. And God's now calling you to trust him with your future. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you haven't been walking with the Lord. But man, he's saying to you today, I want you to trust me and experience the life that I have for you. My goodness, my grace. And would you just say, God, I'm open to whatever you have for me. I want to be the church. I want to build my life on your word. And live my life helping hurting and the broken people find life that you're giving to me. And if you want some help with that, listen, when we stand and sing, you can walk to the front and you just tell somebody, hey, look, help me, pray for me. Or you can text the word next or pray to our number. We'd be glad to help you. Lord, we love you. We bless you. I thank you for such a great faith family. Lord, we're imperfect as we are, but you are a great God. And you've been so good. And today we just tell you, thank you. And so, Lord, would you let your spirit even now move in us? And Lord, would you let this be a day of praise and life change for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen.